eyes.
That certainly won't clutter up your air sound at all.
I've done this promotion at a number of stations. It creates a lot of street talk. Then he writes here, I feel really good coming off a successful fall book. We have momentum, and we need to take the necessary steps that will assure WZBH will increase again in the spring. If your notes differ from the above, please let me know. See you at the client party on February 23rd. What a jack-off this guy is. Let's call this. Let me call this guy.
That's
let me call
pretty
this
nasty
guy.
Stuff in his experience with us.
Okay.
All right.
Uh-huh.
And these guys get paid for this. Yeah, they're all over the place.
It's been his experience with our show that we come out of the box strong.
Mm-hmm.
Come out of your box strong. Pal.
Pally. Pal o' mine.
Good afternoon. This is Tom Evans.
Good afternoon. I told you.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, hello. This is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. We're doing our radio show right now.
Yes,
I imagine.
Are we on the air?
Yes.
Yes, we're on the air.
I'm not going to say any dirty words because you are radio gods.
Well, now listen. I'm sure that somebody from your station must have called you and warned you that we have this inane memo that you sent to this station a couple of months ago.
Inane memo.
We just read it, so our audience knows how inane it is. Your comments about the DJs, Samantha, how she needs to find out when bread cost 49 cents a loaf, and how Paul needs to say Valentine, not Ballantine.
And then we read the mean part about us.
What did I say about you guys? Hey, listen, I got you guys on client stations.
What client station? Now, how about
LNI in Lynchburg?
Well, how come
line.
You?
How about the line? How come your favorite station?
How come
you covered a turd boy?
How come you right
come
here?
On.
My experience with Don and Mike is they come out of the box strong, sustain that for two books, and then fade. It's a good move only. It enables the Fox to sell PM Drive on the come to some merchants. And then you write, need I say more? And our comeback to this, Mr. Smart Consultant, is that check the ratings. We just had a killer.
You guys had a great book. Congratulations.
Number one rating.
Which demo, please?
Numero uno.
It's 18 to 49, 18
good.
To 34.
You guys are great. I love you. I have you on stations.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I have
Why
to compete you? Against you, I have to compete against you.
Know, that, you're a consultant, though, and that you know.
Wait. Can I do the consultant tap dance now?
You know that makes you evil. Being a consultant, you know that makes you inherently evil.
Now, listen. What is
even,
it?
Even though I am intelligent and wise enough to put you guys on some client stations.
No, listen. Hold on. Listen.
Take the run.
Hold on. You didn't put us on any stations. I guarantee you didn't put us
Excuse
on
me?
Any stations. You put us on no stations.
LNI?
You had nothing to do with that.
Oh, no.
Nothing to
wrong,
do with that.
Wrong.
Nothing.
Wrong. Guys, come
then,
on.
Then how can you be...
Chops nationwide.
Then
come
how
on.
Can you be so double-faced, so two-faced? If on one hand we're so great that you put us on stations, what does WLNI think now when they hear us read a memo that you think are... your experience is that we come out of the box strong, sustain that for two books, and then fade.
Put on those tap shoes. Put on those tap shoes.
Guys. All right, get Mel on the phone. That's it.
No, can't say that.
Oh, that's right.
All right.
Oh, bleep that. Get the high poobah on the
Listen,
phone.
why would he want to talk to you? Why would the president of Infinity want to talk to you?
Yeah, I'm not a fingernail to him, you know?
So, what is your experience with our show, where we come out of the box strong, sustain that for two books, and then fade?
LNI, for one.
Our numbers are very strong at WLNI.
They are back again.
Yeah, what does that say?
Well,
what does that
recall,
say?
Excuse
what
me,
does that
John
say
Dent?
About your theory?
Well, I know I'm not going to win this argument, but...
That's right.
But
hold on, hold on.
Here's the bottom line. This memo,
We're
as
back
I recall,
again.
Was written prior
in,
to...
In February.
Yes.
This is February 5th.
Your latest book in Lynchburg.
So your theory
LI,
is... So your
which
theory
is
that,
my realm of experience.
So now are you going to write a letter to WZBH to tell them that your experience with the Don and Mike show is that they have two great books, then maybe a soft book, and that they come back even stronger?
That could be written. Yes, it could.
I have a suggestion for your next memo, all
what's
right?
That,
it
what's
simply
that, guys?
Should say, Don and Mike kick ass. They are radio gods.
Unbeatable.
Well, unbeatable.
Radio gods, no doubt about it. In fact, I have recommended you people to other client stations.
Yeah. Well, the only way to make it up to us now is
what,
that you have
I have to put you on all of them?
You have to put us on 10 stations before the end of the year.
And listen, I don't even
wait
know.
Now, let's negotiate. What's my piece of the action here?
I don't even know who the Samantha is, but how dare you? And poor Paul. Paul here, who can't say Valentine. You say he says Ballantine and can't say President, but says President.
President.
And what is all this? Who cares if a guy says an intro of a record three times? Who cares?
And has Paul gotten his elocution lessons
yes,
yet?
Yes, he has.
Brevity, do you realize that every rule that
excuse me, you missed part of that, guys.
Every wheel,
a
every
music station.
Every rule that you give here are
you
rules
break.
That we break.
And you do well with it.
But listen, this is the whole... Well, listen, I don't want to sell you on this because I want the station you're consulting to continue to do as badly as they're doing.
Yeah, we can't educate this guy too much because then, you know, he's going to take stuff from this like consultants do and he'll use it to his own advantage because you're inherently evil.
But listen, I wouldn't do that to you guys.
You got a mole in your organization. You got somebody in there who's sending us these internal memos.
Oh, my gosh.
You better squash that mole.
Yes, we will. So we're going to have to ferret them out and destroy that person.
So now how are you going to deal with this when WZBH, the station you consult, calls you up? How will you deal with this?
That's privileged information.
Now, I'd like to know a tap dance. Let's say I'm the general manager. I call up and I go, listen, first off, I hear Don and Mike reading this internal memo about all the changes you want to make on the station.
Yeah.
Second, they make you look like a total loser because your ratings are down.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
Their ratings are up. How could this happen? How can you be our consultant? What do you say to the general manager then?
Humana. Come on, I love you guys.
No, you don't?
Oh, come on.
No, you're a consultant. You can't be trusted.
Wait a minute. Are all consultants automatically bad?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Why?
Unquestionably.
Because
can't
if
I
you
be
could.
The one
if,
consultant
no,
that's
no,
a,
listen.
That,
that's if
almost
you,
human.
If you could do the
almost
job.
Almost human.
If you could do the job, you'd be doing it.
That's right.
And because you can't do it, you're
no,
trying to be a consultant.
Those who cannot do coach. You know that.
Well, that's exactly what I just said.
That's right. You just quoted the great Don Geronimo on that
those
one.
Those who can do and those
what's
who can't.
What's the other one? There was a cartoon in Playboy many, many years ago. It showed a couple of Indian braves on a hill overlooking a very elderly Indian with two little children.
See, too much time. We're bored. I'm a consultant to you on this bit.
Stop the joke because it's
boring and it's not funny.
When you get too old to hunt, you teach a course in how to read buffalo.
No, I've got something to say to you, Mr. Consultant. Here's what I want to say to you.
What?
It's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice.
Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate the call, and I wish you a lot of luck in every market except where I'm competing against you. Markets I'm working with you.
Take a look at those ratings.
Hell,
take a look at those
give
ratings.
Give me my incentive bonuses.
Yeah,
take a look at those ratings.
You owe us. You owe us big time.
Okay.
How dare you?
Be the NAB?
Hey, now listen. We're going to try not to steal your great idea you gave the station to give away a year's worth of dry cleaning. Where'd you come up with that one?
You busters. I was going to buy you a really nice couple of root beers out at the next
A day. Year's worth of dry cleaning. A month of free cable TV.
I'll tell you.
You got the mic.
Let me tell you something.
You edit it. Come on.
Let me tell you something right now. The year's worth of dry cleaning is going to catapult them to number one.
Hey, guys. Don't you think it's a swell idea?
Yeah, and now he's doing a parody of himself.
All right.
You're wonderful.
You're just goofing on yourself.
Just remember, we're always listening and always watching.
I know.
And you got a mole.
No better.
You got a mole in there. Listen.
I will ferret that person out, guys.
I hope you do.
However, how'd you do for me in Lynchburg? You did pretty good, didn't you?
We didn't do anything for you. Listen, I never heard of you before. Okay? I can name 1,000 consultants. I heard of Dan Valley. I heard of Alan Burns. I heard of Tracy Johnson.
Thanks.
I heard of a million guys. You're a nobody.
Thank you.
You're a nobody in this business.
I'm nobody until I'm signing you on the radio station.
You have not signed us to any station. Signed us to no stations.
What?
The only way that you can be beyond a whale poop in our eyes over the next year is to edit. You should sign us up for all your stations.
I'm going to call the station in Roanoke right now and have them cancel you as the consultant.
How you like that? Here we go.
Right now, he's starting that internal security investigation. Hello, the receptionist. I want a list of names, everyone that I dealt with, that I sent that memo to.
Who had that memo?
I want him killed. I want his family
dead. I want his wife dead. I want his brother dead. I want his
105 on the line. This is Jay. Can I help you?
Yes. Hello, Jay. This is Don and Mike. Can we talk to the general manager, please?
All right. Hold on.
Thank you. We got Opie Taylor answering the telephones here at our station in Roanoke.
Yes. Hello, Jay. This is Don and Mike. Can we talk to the general manager, please?
Get this guy canceled right away.
We got Opie Taylor answering.
Who needs this guy?
At our station in Roanoke.
Yes. And we can find out once and for all whether he really did recommend putting us on.
Yeah.
Or whether that was a decision made by the general manager and they just asked this guy.
We got Opie Taylor answering. Who needs this guy?
Hey, got a great idea, though.
Yes,
free groceries for a month!
Right now.
Hello?
He's not in right now.
How about the program director?
Nope.
Oh, come on now, Opie. Somebody's got to be there. Who's running the show today?
I'm running the show.
Now, we want to talk to somebody about Tom Evans, the consultant.
Is he the consultant for your station?
Yeah, I guess so.
What do you mean you guess so? If you're running things, you should know so.
How old are you?
I'm 21.
You sound like that little kid that we had call yesterday. We had to get promised never to call the show again.
You're 21?
Yep.
What are you doing at our station there? Are you the receptionist?
No, I'm running the board.
You're the guy who's running our board right now?
Yep.
And answering the business lines?
Unfortunately, yes.
You're doing everything? There's no one else there?
There's one other guy here.
Put him on, whoever he is.
All right, I'll put him on.
He's got to be more important than you.
You know, I think we've got a child labor violation at that station.
The Kathy Lee Pants.
We've got our own little sweatshop working down in Lynchburg.
I'll put him on.
He's got to be more important than you. Kathy Lee Pants.
We've got a child labor violation.
He ran the board all day from midnight until 8 o'clock in the evening without even a bathroom break.
The Kathy Lee Pants. I told Cody, I'm not a bad lady.
He ran the board.
I didn't know that our board operator was pregnant and making 13 cents an hour and was barefoot. I didn't know.
I told Cody.
What about Michael Jordan? My reach.
That our board operator was pregnant and making 13
We're going to get nowhere here.
Nah, we're not going to get. Well, we gave it to that guy. That guy knows.
He's on the phone. He doesn't want to talk to you.
He's on the phone and he doesn't want to talk to us.
Why?
Because he's just temporary. He's filling in for somebody who's on vacation.
And you're not 21.
I am 21.
There's no way you're 21.
You come down here and card me, then.
Do you have hair on your privates?
Yes, I do.
No, come on. Really? You're like a G.I. Joe, right?
Nope.
Come on.
It's not necessarily just the fact that you have a high voice. It's your pattern of speech that would betray your age here. See the.
What, so you're saying I'm an idiot?
No, we're not saying you're an idiot.
Well,
although you show the potential to perhaps be an idiot.
Oh, okay.
No, you're just very youthful. See, if it was my radio station, you know, the first person you meet at a station is the person that gives you the overall feeling of the station.
Absolutely.
It's the most important person in many cases at the station. I would think we'd have somebody, our station in Lynchburg and Rogo, to have somebody a little more, what's the word, experienced.
Worldly, Don.
Yes.
Worldly. And I'm not saying
you're a veteran.
I'm not saying you're stupid, but I'll tell you this. If you are 21, it might be time to get a tutor.
Oh, okay. I'll take that advice.
Just a tutor to coach you in day-to-day activities.
Now, are you answering the station's business line from inside the studio?
Yes, I am.
What is this, a real mom-and-pop operation? How many is this one of those radio stations that's in an old big house?
No, actually in a business office. But
you're in a business office? Do you have any promos handy that you can play, the Don and Mike promos that are on the station?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, let me hear one.
All right,
here we go.
21.
I don't think so.
He's, you know what it is. He might be 21, but since he's been 12, he's been cooped up in that studio.
Yeah.
Hitting buttons.
He's been in the root cellar.
Okay. Hey-o.
Another night in the box.
All right, here. I'm going to play one for you over the phone right now.
Okay. Thank you, son.
Pale from a lack of sunshine.
All right. This is very sad. It's very sad. There's a little feedback.
Listen, I feel like calling the consultant back and tell him to get us a better group of people to work at this. Hello?
Are you having a little problem?
Hello? Use the force!
We're in the tin can. Hey, make it do that again. We like that sound effect.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Hello?
Did he hang up?
Yeah, he hung up. I'm going to call the consultant back.
Tell him he's got bigger problems.
Go to Roanoke.
At his station in Roanoke. He's got to fly to Roanoke right now.
Right now. You got to go today.
He's got to take the red eye out.
Tom, buddy.
Good afternoon, Tom Evans.
Tom, listen, it's Don and Mike again.
Tom, you got to get to Roanoke right now.
You got to go there right now. If you're really the consultant of that station, this is a station.
You're talking about the feedback on the line?
This is a station that is going down the toilet right as fast as you can speak.
Impossible.
They've got an 8-year-old that's running the board.
It's impossible.
There's nobody there.
You an afternoon drive and the rest of the folks.
There is nobody in authority there. And Opie Taylor is answering the telephones.
Get on a plane right now, Tom.
All right. Goodbye, Tom.
Bye, Tom.
Hey, thanks, guys.
All right, eat me already.
Broken man.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
MIWJFK.
Of all the employees, they're the Westinghouseiest. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I love that Oasis. That's good music. Listen, we have a unique situation here.
Yeah, somewhat uncomfortable situation.
We have a celebrity on the telephone who's willing to be interviewed. His name is Robert Wall, and he is a star of the HBO show Arliss.
Oh, yeah. A show that we
saw at it just cannot suck enough. Mm-hmm. Now, let's be polite with this gentleman.
We'll be polite.
Tell him we've got about 3 minutes.
Right.
And we'll ask him about his show and ask him about his career. And then at the very end, I'll broach the subject with him.
Sure. And we'll do it delicately and like adults.
All right. Okay. Put him on hold. Put him on hold, Robbie. Robbie Bobby Boo. Robbie Bob. Oh, hi, Charlie.
Rob is waiting for Mr. Wall to come to the phone.
Rob!
Rob!
Oh, Rob.
Oh, Rob.
Well, you know, this is going to now eat into the time that we would be discussing all of his other projects with him.
Yeah, which are many, and some that are really good. I remember that movie from way back, that 50s-type movie where he was Newbaum, you know that guy?
He was also in Batman, and the first Batman. He was also in the movie Cobb with Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, he was great in Cobb.
However, this show, this Arla show, which is supposed to be like a Larry Sanders, which is based in the world of sports.
I want to legitimately ask him if they're planning on making any tweaking it up or making any changes in it to make it a little more Larry Sanders-esque.
Well, let's get him on. Forget the being nice. Let's just tell him we're big fans of his. That's all I'll do. I say, listen, we're big fans of yours. We watched the show, and we were mildly disappointed with the performance of the show, Arliss. Your response, please, Mr. Wall.
Yeah, we'd like to hear what he has to say.
Is that his name, Wall or Wool?
Wool.
Wool.
Wool. And he gets feedback on it.
Is this him? Hello? No, that's not him. Robbie. Hey, Robbie.
Show premieres in its regular time slot tonight on HBO.
That's why he's calling.
Right.
To get a plug-in.
Right. Quick
and
plug.
Here comes Charlie Broyhill again.
He needs yet another moment.
Another moment?
Right, you know.
We'll give him another moment. Here he is.
Un momento.
Here he is now.
Oh, do we have Robert Wall on the phone now?
Yes, we do.
Hello, here's Robert Wall, everybody.
Hi, Robert. Hey.
Great
Hi,
actor.
How are you?
Great actor. We're doing just great. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Your program is on tonight on HBO, right, Arliss?
Indeed, 10 o'clock Eastern time.
Okay, we watched it last week.
Yes, Saturday night, I think.
We waited with great anticipation because we had heard the show promoted as a Larry Sanders in
they
sports.
Keep saying that.
And you don't like that?
You don't like them saying that, Robert?
It's just, I mean, it's good for quick you know, shorthand stuff. But it's, you know, I'd rather have the show stand on itself. I don't, you know, it's just like anything else. You know, it's like it really, the only thing we have in common is that there's cameos.
Yeah, and then now the cameos. Are we going to be seeing a lot more cameos on the show?
Oh yeah. We've got boy, who do we got coming up? See, this week we got Brent Barry, John Franco, Hannah Storm. Then coming up, you got everybody from John McEnroe, Barry Bonds, Will Clark, Nate Newton, Charlie Steiner, Chris Berman, Al Michaels. I mean, they're all in it.
Now, you would think with that many great people on, it'd be hard to screw it up. Is the episode this week good?
No.
No, it's not good? Okay. All right, listen, here's the thing.
Actually, most of I must say, as great as the press we've had has been, most of the people last week, most of the people think that this episode's better.
All right, now, I'm glad you said that, because we all watched the show last week, and...
Yeah, and we here's the deal. We were glued to our TV sets, and we're still rooting for this show. See, we have an agent, and listen, we deal with an agent. We want you to be more of an a-hole.
We have two theories on this. Mike has the agent theory.
Right.
And I have the theory about the athletes.
Now, I know you probably don't need us to be saying anything to you.
You don't need Monday morning quarterbacks. The show's only been on the air 1 week, but listen.
But we're psyched about this show. We were psyched about this show. We want to continue to be psyched about this show.
Like, I watch it. You let me know what you think this week. This week I get into more negotiation. And it's more wheeling and dealing a little bit.
Now, so you personally like this week's episode better than last week's?
Oh, it's a good show. It's a pretty, you know, like, it's hard. It's like saying, which child do you like?
Right.
It's an awfully good show.
Would that one on Saturday night, would that be kind of like the pilot?
Yeah, that was the pilot.
Okay, right. So that's the debut, and you make changes when you go into the regular production.
Here's a question about the athletes that you have on. Are they going to allow themselves to be parodied? For instance, when you had Shaquille O'Neal on, it was okay to have him stand in the lobby and waiting for you to come out and but couldn't you have him like trying to read a newspaper? You're aware that he couldn't spell the word period. Did you hear that soundbite during the NBA championship?
No.
When he said, the Orlando Magic will not lose this game.
I think the question...
P-E-R-O-D, period.
I think the question you're asking, will the athletes, when they come on for their cameos on the program, be willing to come off, and I hate to bring up the Larry Sanders show, but the advertising that they do, you know, the show is compared to that. Will the athletes be willing to put themselves in situations that make them look bad?
Oh, they've been great. I mean, look at Jerry Jones, last week. Well, the intent is not to then make them look bad. It's make them look human.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, we have Alonzo Mourning on the show. We have Bonds. And Bonds and McEnroe were just great. I mean, they're natural performers. So, but besides, I mean, the cameos are really, to me, the least. I mean, that's just to give it some, you know, some texture. I mean, it's about the storylines.
See, Robert, here's the problem that we are big fans of yours, and we really have been looking forward to the show, and they've been hyping the HE you know what out of it, and it came on last week, and it's like we watched it, we went, well, that's it.
I'm sorry
to say that.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Are you mad at us now?
Not at all. You watch the show. That's the first thing, you know.
Well, okay. We not only watch this, so we're talking about 2 inches away from the screen, ready for the show, anticipating the show. I was walking around last week, Don. You can tell him the truth that I was walking around with that baseball shirt.
Sure, yeah.
I was walking around the lobby with an Arliss baseball shirt on.
Oh, good for you.
Yes,
all,
I was.
All kinds of free stuff.
You know, well, watch the next one. Tell me what develop. Watch the show.
All right. Well, listen. How about
think
this?
It is the first chapter in the book. That's what it is. The book is 11 chapters long.
Can we book you on the show next week?
Sure.
And I'd like to also compliment you on your performance in Cobb.
Oh, now you're loving
it. I thought you were brilliant in that. That was an absolutely fantastic movie. I thought it was terrific.
Cobb. And I'm a big fan of that.
You worked with Tommy Lee Jones so well, it was fantastic.
Yeah, I really like that movie. I think it's a really smart, good, intelligent movie.
Oh, now listen, I think we hurt his feelings. Because you're probably used to coming on and having guys just kiss your butt and talk about but we do kiss your butt. We do like you a lot.
You're probably not used to people coming that are so close to this.
I'm thrilled that you took that much of an interest in it. But maybe, you know, it's like when I first saw The Graduate, everybody told me so much about The Graduate that when you first watch it, you go, well, is that it? And then you watch it again, you say, you know, this is pretty good. Then you say, you know, this is very good.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's make a deal. Today is... today is Wednesday.
Right, and by next Saturday, you'll watch The Graduate.
No. We'll watch tonight on HBO.
Okay.
Arliss at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
10 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Pacific. And if we can book you next week, we'd love to have you on to talk about the show next week.
Okay, that's fair. I'll tell you what the story tonight about. Okay,
okay, please do.
Yeah, please.
Tonight's episode is about starts when I have a negotiation with a team owner, Buddy Rheingold, and I'm trying to get a fair deal for my player. I'm trying to get $1 million raise, and his argument against it is that the guy only won one game last year, and I'm trying to get him $1 million raise.
Okay, that's been used in the promos. We've heard that, and that sounds
okay,
really
well,
good.
Well, you haven't heard it quite because they've been cleaning it up.
Okay,
for the promo.
Oh, good. All right, and that's
so
good.
It's got
too.
Some bad language,
and
we love the bad language.
We get into a bit of a thing, and what basically happens is that this guy's a two-sport owner, and the title is Negotiating, It's Never Personal. Now, you must remember, this book is all Arliss' spin, so no matter what he's telling you, he's totally full of crap, okay?
Okay.
So always remember, he is totally full. He's an agent. Remember that. It's his book. You know, it's like, so, and then the story is about where I find out about a high school kid who is going to skip the NBA and go straight to the pros.
All right.
And so that's your basic storyline, what happens along the way and how he recruits him. I mean, that's what happens.
You know, now I feel like we have a personal interest in this.
So you have
you took it last week, too. The fact that you were talking about how you wanted to watch the show, and, you took a personal interest last week. So
here's the thing.
That's why I just, I'll call you next week.
There is so much crap on TV. There is so much stuff that's not good that's just pablum.
Right, so I can be as good as that.
Yeah, well, no. You were, see, that's a problem. We're holding you to a higher standard than that.
That's okay.
We want you to be better than Urkel.
We are rooting for you.
That's right. Nobody ever compares me to that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I get compared to Larry Sanders and Seinfeld. No one ever says, it's not the next hanging with Mr. Cooper. I never get compared to that stuff.
Listen, you're a real man. To take this,
yeah, you got a great attitude,
criticism.
Yeah, and we're really thrilled to have you on our program.
I want to tell you something. We certainly don't. If anybody ever calls us to tell us anything about our show,
oh man, we are big babies.
We tell them to go to hell. We don't even take the call. So you're a bigger man than we are to begin with. We will watch your show tonight on HBO. If you will please stay on hold.
Tomorrow you guys will go, hey man, this was worse than the first show.
Well, no, you know that could happen.
It could happen because we're honest, and you're an actor. You could even like at this stage of the game, you could pretend to be mad at us.
Although, you know what? No, I'd say, what will work at his benefit, though?
Yes.
Is the fact that now that we've talked to him,
yes.
Because you know what? You and I are like puppy dogs when it comes to movie stars and
absolutely.
TV stars.
Absolutely. If we have a connection with a celebrity, we go gaga.
That means even if the show's not too good, we'll probably love it.
Of course.
Because we've talk to you on the telephone.
We're certainly going to be glued to the set tonight, and so he has served his purpose coming on the show.
So listen, can we book you for next week?
Yeah, if I'm not flying, let's see, it's Wednesday.
Any day.
I may be flying to New York, but if we'll try to work it out for sure.
Any day next week.
Anytime your convenience.
All right, hold on, please. There's Mr. Robert Wall.
I give him credit. You and I, really, we could learn something from that, but we are, I mean, if anybody was ever to pull that
well,
with
listen,
us.
Well, listen, okay, let's be honest, okay? Mm-hmm. Now that he's off the,
yes.
off the air. Have we ever done a show that deserves the kind of criticism we've given him?
Let me think
ever
for a second.
Think
let me
back.
Let me just think for a second.
Over 10 years,
over the entire 10 years?
Have we ever done a show?
How foolish of me to even say that. Yeah. You're right. All of our shows have been perfect.
Right. Above reproach.
Unbelievable.
Above reproach.
We've had a flawless 10-year run, and I was trying to compare. I apologize.
Yeah. All right. Don't you do that now.
Okay. I'm terribly sorry.
Come on.
No, really.
Robert Wall, everybody.
Very nice man.
His program on HBO tonight. We got a break. We'll come right back with your telephone calls. 1-800-636-1067. That is our toll-free line. Your calls and rotating random phone scan lie straight ahead.
Radio gods. Don and Mike. Currently living in exile from the Disney Corporation, it's the Don and Mike Show.
All right, you stations, you got to break away. We'll do the break in 2 minutes if you got to leave us after 3 hours today. Now your telephone calls at 1-800-636-1067 and Sack of Tomatoes. Let's go to Sacramento. Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Mike, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
Love you, Buzz.
I love you, sir.
Well, thank you. I was wondering if you guys could get Robert Wall to call me at home. I kind of thought I was stunk, too.
Well, no, listen, let's not pile on the guy.
Yeah, I mean,
after all, I'll tell you what, during the break, he was a good sport.
He was very gracious. He was very gracious, and that's not, you know, most people go, hey, screw that. I don't need to take that.
He was very nice, and he has agreed to come back on the show next week. The question will be next week, if the show sucks, do we have the nerve to tell him that we thought it sucked again? But you know what? Part of me thinks we should tell him that again, just to see if he'll come on again the next week.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
we just get him like on every week.
Get him on for the entire season.
I'll tell you guys what, I'm a pretty big sports fan like yourselves, and I watch a lot of HBO like yourselves, and I'm kind of rooting for the show too, but...
Like ourselves?
Like yourselves.
Like yourself.
That was a pretty weak show on it, and I'll watch it again. But
you know, the thing about that that's interesting is that we do like ourselves.
Hey, I like yourself too.
Very, very much.
We love ourselves.
Yeah, we love ourselves. We have a passionate love affair going with ourselves.
I love yourselves. Hey, be honest next week, too.
Okay.
I love you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I think we've made a lot of friends in the Angry Men in their 20s today.
Sure. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Right?
Hello.
You're on the air. Hello.
How you doing?
Great, thank you.
I was calling to get your fax number because I have an interesting little snippet on Jim Carrey. Someone you like very much has made a comparison with him. And
listen, why fax? You're on the phone. Read, tell, say,
well,
speak.
I didn't have it with me. I left it at home.
Well, a paraphrase.
Jerry Lewis compared himself to Jim Carrey.
I already had it. We had it months ago.
Oh, well, you see. And I also had something on Oasis. An article from CMJ Magazine. I listened, you heard, you played a little bit of them today, and I...
Is that Cool Mother Jammin' Magazine?
Exactly. That's the one. College Music Journal.
CMJ.
CMJ.
Hey, stations, it must break away now. Boy, you've picked a really great spot to break away with the calls moving at such a breakneck pace. If you got to leave now for the three-hour plan, we will see you.
Sorry.
See you tomorrow.
So you interested in the Oasis facts?
You know, no. CMJ, I had that one time. My jaw hurts so bad.
It's TMJ, Mike.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. And not to be confused with PB&J, which is, of course, peanut butter and jelly.
Hey, thank you very much. I wish the stations that had to leave could have gotten that before.
And PJ, which is petroleum jelly.
Ooh.
Rick D's hot cash of the morning.
Rick D's kids cash coming out there with his Oxy 5 prize pack.
Hello. Baltimore, Maryland. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, it's Tom.
Yes, Tom. Hello.
Hey, I used to work with Tom Evans.
Who is Tom Evans?
The consultant.
The consultant guy.
Oh, I got him mixed up. You know what I was thinking of? I said, Bob Evans.
Down on the farm. You won't go hungry. You won't go broke. Bob Evans at dinner time. You'll have a plate of sausage. It'll taste real good.
It'll burn coming out. Down on the farm.
And then in the middle of the night, when you're sleeping sound, Bob Evans will visit you.
Yes, hello.
Hey.
So you worked with that guy, the consultant, right?
Yeah, he was a PD at a radio station here, and I was promotion director.
Yeah, what radio station?
98 Rock.
Oh, in Baltimore. Oh, no wonder the guy knows who we are than if he worked up in Baltimore.
That would be his history with us.
Yeah, so check it out. We're in London. We're doing a live broadcast from London, and he and I are drinking late at night in the pub.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 3 weeks at the radio station, and he turns to me and says, "Do you think I'm going to lose my job?" And I said, "Tom, if you're asking me, I suspect you're gonna." And about a week later, he was gone.
Well, let's say he was smart enough to know the handwriting was on the wall.
But he's got some great ideas.
Yes, yeah, he does.
Dry cleaning for a month.
Wonder if he did that at 98 Rock.
Hello, Don and Mike Show, Stockton, California.
Hi, Don, Mike. How are you doing today?
Hi, we're great, thank you.
My name is Andy. I'm calling you from Stockton. I had a favor to ask of you guys. Feel like taking pity on a lost soul here.
Okay, Andy.
I've been listening to you guys for about 2.5 years now. My wife actually got me hooked on you guys. Would come home and tell me about the zany things that Don and Mike used to do, and she would butcher the stories, and I figured, well, hell, I better listen to get an idea what these guys are all about. We've been listening ever since.
She sounds like a beautiful woman.
Yes, she does.
Oh, yeah. We participated in strip trivia when you came to Sacramento last year.
Bueno.
My wife has won on the 4-Hour Club, so we are dedicated listeners, and I'm hoping that she's listening right now.
All right, we have your entire resume. Can we do for you?
Well, unfortunately, we're going through a separation and a divorce right now.
Oh, my God.
My wife has filed for divorce, and it's not something that I want. I still love her very, very much, and I try to convey that to her every chance that I get.
I knew that was going to happen.
We spotted it. Oh, we spotted it.
We remember
didn't
that.
We? Didn't we say it out in Sacramento?
Yeah, we were sitting there.
What's your wife's first name?
Her first name is Jill.
Yeah, we said Andy and Jill. That relationship is doomed.
I remember that. We were having chicken fingers and going over the notes that we took on all the listeners that were playing strip trivia. And we said, Andy and Jill, did you notice some tension there?
I said, I bet the big D is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Big
D. Well, I don't blame you guys. Yeah. I really don't.
Lord. How can we possibly help you?
Well, Radio Gods, I'm throwing myself on your mercy and wondering if you would want to give her a phone call and beg her and plead her.
You want her to come back.
Come to her senses and come back. God,
you want to get back together. I like that. You want to get back together.
Nice. I'll put you on hold.
I love her and I need her. I've got a big hole in my heart. I ache without her.
Why did she kick you out?
Well, actually, she moved out. I'm still in the house.
Why did she depart?
Well, to be honest with you, sir, she never gave me a big reason.
Hold on. Another man in her life?
The number.
I asked her, and she said no.
All right, hold on. Right. We'll get the number. We'll call her up.
I'd kick him out of my house.
That's on line number 5,
everybody. Basically being long-winded.
Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, I saw something down in Dumfries the other day.
Yes, Dumfries, Virginia?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Larry Williams is going to be playing at a gospel revival.
Larry Williams, our Larry Williams?
The Dickman?
It sure seems like it.
You mean this Larry Williams?
My name is Larry Williams. And I sure would be interested in the movies.
You got a big Larry?
Yeah, I got a that long. And that big around. I got a good I got a made of gold. I got a good
I got a lovely Johnny Walker.
I got a beautiful I got a lovely
I'll keep it in mind.
And it can 24 hours a day.
Yes, it can.
Around the clock. I got to go around the clock.
So the girls in this neighborhood are pretty happy. They're walking around with smiles on their faces.
Yeah. Hell, yeah.
There ain't any girls around here with frowns, are there?
Hell no.
Because
I am the damn Dickman. D-I-C-K-E-M-A-N. I am the Dickman.
D-I-C-K-E-M-A-N.
Well, I'm just like a squirrel trying to crack a nut.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, take me to the movies.
Yeah, buddy.
All right,
thanks.
Bye-bye.
Take care, Larry.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
I'm guessing, and this is just a guess here, that it might be a different Larry Williams.
Bam!
Well, I don't know. It was for this gospel revival.
Yes, gospel and that Larry Williams, I don't think, go together.
He is the Dickman. All right, now, let me see. I have the number. I have the Andy.
Yes, sir.
I have the number of young Jill. I will call her now. Hold the line, please.
Right, this is Andy and Jill. We have to ask Jill what the reasons are that she's moved out on Andy. Andy, obviously, desperate to get Jill back.
And then we'll decide, much like Judge Wapner used to decide. Mm-hmm. We'll decide if these kids should stay together.
Or that they'll have a productive, happy life if they're apart.
Fair enough.
Geiger Manufacturing.
And she's going to love getting this call on the radio. Yes, hello, is Jill there, please?
No, Jill's gone.
This is Don and Mike. We're doing our national radio show right now.
Yeah, well, she left.
She left? Did she leave with another guy?
No.
She didn't leave with another guy?
She left all by her onesies?
Yeah, she did.
Okay. Is this her boss?
Yes, this is her boss.
Do you know a lot about Jill? And her situation at home?
A little bit.
She seemed to be getting along okay with Andy. See, Andy desperately wants her back.
Did you know that she moved out?
Yes.
Mm.
She told you that?
Yes.
Are you close with her?
No.
Have you ever taken her to lunch?
No. Well, yeah, I have taken her to lunch.
Mm. How long? Ever had a nooner?
Never.
Trying to figure out if this is the reason.
This isn't the guy, I can tell.
This is not the guy?
No, this isn't the guy.
Did she mention to you why she left Andy? You see,
no.
he's on our...
That's my concern.
He's on our phone right
That's
now.
That's not my concern. He's being the good boss here.
He's on our phone. He wanted us to call her to ask her to come back, but we don't really know the circumstances, and he said he doesn't know why she left him.
And before we can formulate our opinion, we have to get information from everybody we talk to.
Well, I'm sorry. I can't help you, because she doesn't tell me about her personal life. I do know that she and her husband are separated.
Uh-huh. All right, well, he wants her back, and I guess you're not the person to talk to.
No, you're not. I'm not the person.
All right, can you leave her a note that we called?
I'll do it.
Okay.
I'll be here tomorrow.
Okay.
Thanks all a right. lot. Guess we'll have to ask Andy if there's yeah. anywhere else we can reach her.
Yeah.
Andy?
Yes, sir.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, it's kind of news to me. I don't know why she wouldn't be there.
Well, the good news is she's not doing anything with her boss.
Well, yeah, true, but like I say, she does listening, and maybe she's listening, and she told her boss when the phone rings, I'm not answering it.
Now, listen, why did she leave? Hey, she must have given you a reason.
Well, to be honest with you, she kept a lot of things inside. She never sat down and talked to me, so...
What about your behavior patterns, Andy? Are you a heavy drinker?
No, that's just it. See, I'm not getting round up in prostitution stings. I'm not blowing the mortgage money on crack. I'm not beating her. I'm not cheating on her. I don't come home at 3 in the morning. I'm stable, dependable. I got a good
man.
Job. I love her dearly. I did become a little... consumed in extracurricular activities. I run the soccer leagues here in my area, and I had a tendency, like an idiot, to put that before her and her family. I just never thought it was building up.
This is a man filled with remorse. This is a man that deserves a second chance.
You're talking to the wrong guys here. You should be laying all this on her.
Trust me, gentlemen, I have. Every day, every other day, I try to phone her and tell her. And
what does she say?
It falls pretty much on deaf ears. She says she can't talk to me at work. I ask her to please call me when she gets home, and she says I'll think about her, and she never does.
Oh, well, now listen, here we were ready to kid you about spotting you as the divorced couple when we saw you.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we can do something here. Hold on. Maybe she'll call in.
Yeah, maybe she'll call in because something will motivate her. If you're this desperate that you've actually called us... Maybe she will be motivated when she hears you.
Well, that's something that we share. I mean, we're to your program, so I thought hopefully if she was listening, maybe.
Or the fact that you've called the show now to air your dirty laundry will be the final nail in the casket, and she will never have anything to do with you again.
I'm right on the precipice of the abyss, so either way, she
might
get any lower.
If we don't reach her today, she might very well come into work tomorrow and see a note from her boss, and then perhaps have a lengthy conversation with her boss about not airing dirty laundry on a national radio show. And
it's not her fault. Obviously, it's me making the call, and I don't want...
That's right, Andy.
There you go.
There you go. Okay.
I don't want to get her into trouble at work, but that's the only place that I know of where she'll be while she's on the air.
Okay, Andy.
Who's she staying with while she's gone, Andy?
Sure. All of her mail has been forwarded to her folks' house in a little city north of here, so...
Mm. That's too bad.
That's too bad, Andy.
She's staying with her folks. But if you guys wouldn't mind, take pity on me and make me a personal project and try and save our marriage.
Now, Andy,
we sure will, Andy.
Andy, because you're a guy, and I know guys sound really good sometimes, but also guys are guys, that if things don't work out with this Jill situation, Andy, is there anything else we can do for you?
Well, you can make me the next Rob Bay long distance. I'll do crazy things for you guys over here.
You know, the natural response.
See, what Mike gave him the opening there to say, I'd be willing to, like, have you guys find me a date on the Love Connection.
Yeah, he just wants Jill back.
But you love her, right?
All I want, gentlemen, is my wife. I love her truly, and I am absolutely nothing without her. I don't want anything or anything else or anyone else but her. I've tried. I've exhausted every avenue, and I thought we shared the Don and Mike show in common. I was hoping that she was listening, and I don't really know what I was hoping, but... I'm kind of surprised she's not there. I just thought maybe you guys might be able to work a little goofy magic on her and make her take pity on me.
And that's the only kind of magic we practice. Yeah.
Goofy magic.
It's Donna Mike's homespun goofy magic.
But listen, you got to have a higher opinion of yourself. You can't expect her to take pity on you.
Well, maybe not pity. I just, I don't know. I'm running the gamut of emotions here.
Tell me some good things about you. Tell me some of your positive characteristics.
Well, I've got a very good sense of humor. I'm tall. I'm good looking. I'm athletic. Got a good job. I'm very... frugal with the money.
You always satisfy her between the sheets?
Yes, I do my utmost best. I mean, we kind of waned a little bit from that. We weren't doing it every night, although I really think we should have. But
do you have all your shots?
I'm absolutely current. I've got everything.
Okay. Have all your original teeth?
No, sir.
Tattoos, skin discolorations?
No skin tags.
Scars?
No discolorations, no nothing.
Do you have any missing teeth?
No, sir. Everything about me, I'm perfectly normal. I'm missing my heart right now. That's actually the only thing I'm missing.
No, all right. Hold on. I got a marriage counselor on the line for you. Hold on a second. Hello. Is this Dr. Settner?
Yes.
Hello, doctor.
How are you?
Well, here's Dr. Mark Stettner from Washington, D.C., and he wants to talk to Andy. Go ahead.
Andy.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
You care about your wife very much, right?
Very, very, very much.
And you want her to be happy, right?
Well, yes, sir. That's exactly what I want.
Now, let's look at this from a level-headed point of view. Your heart is broken. Your heart is yearning out. What she needs right now is space.
Hey, doctor. Doctor, listen. Yes. I realize this is very important.
Yes, it is very important.
However, we must play commercials. Can I please ask you to hold on the line, both of you?
Yes, because we think that this should continue through a commercial break.
Sure.
Can you hold on? And I have Jill's brother on the other line.
Excellent.
Uh-oh. Wow.
Hold on. Andy, do you know a guy named John?
John David. Yeah, I sure do.
All right, hold on a second. All of you, hold on. Let me see now. Is this Jill's brother?
Yeah.
Is this John?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Hold on, John. And just to make this totally complete. Mm-hmm. Look at who else is on the phone.
All right.
Hello, who's on line number three?
The Scooter from Mobile.
Scooter from Mobile.
You can help us in this situation.
And look who's on line number two.
They call me Carl.
Grossman.
It's Sad Sack Carl Grossman.
I smell sulfur, and right. I smell a happy ending.
All right, all of you, hold on. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. And Mike Show.
Two grown men who can't get enough of each other.
WJFK.
Broadcasting live from the Comedy Breakfast Buffet, the Don and Mike Show.
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara right here coming out of your radio in Buffalo, Lockport, New York on WLVL. Thank you for listening in Lafayette, Louisiana. Sports Radio Casey, KACY. Hey, we're changing radio stations in Lafayette. I'll tell you about that shortly. And our thanks for listening in Tampa, Florida on 1010 Talks. WQYK. For those listening to us in Lafayette, Louisiana, where our radio station has moved the show to evenings, We are going to be on another station starting the 1st of September, where we will be heard again in the afternoon.
Excelente.
So just another one, a little behind-the-scenes things that's happening. Now, we're taking calls. We got a guy on the phone whose wife left him, and he wants her to come back.
We've quizzed him rather thoroughly. He's given us all the particulars, and he seems to be sincere.
We also have the wife's brother on the phone. We also have a marriage counselor on the phone. And now, a woman who says she went to the marriage counselor and the marriage counselor is no good.
Hello,
is this Melanie?
No, this is Marnie.
Marnie.
Yeah.
Marnie.
Hi, Marnie.
Hi.
Now, you're listening to this and you heard the marriage counselor and you went to see him?
Well, if it's the same guy,
all right,
yeah.
Let's find out.
My husband and I were there.
Hey, doctor?
Yes. No, I don't know Marnie. I have an office at 733 15th Street, Northwest.
Oh, see, I went to the guy by the name of Dr. Settner in Columbia.
Oh, don't know him.
So it's a different...
Not the same guy?
What's that?
Not the same guy.
Nope, not the same guy.
Okay, well, I just thought I'd try to warn just in case.
Oh, okay.
Well, Marnie, maybe you just weren't listening.
All right,
maybe not.
Hold on, doctor. Oh, that's too bad. That would have been perfect.
It would have been nice to grill the doctor.
All right, then before we get the doctor back on with Andy, let's talk to the wife's brother.
Okay.
This is John. He is the brother of Jill, who is the wife who has left Andy.
Johnny, what do you know about all of this?
Hi, John.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Great, thank you.
Don and Mike, you kick ass.
Thanks.
All I have to say is Andy needs to grow up and just, like you said, this is the nail in the coffin.
Oh, it is.
So calling the show?
So this is not...
This whole stunt of his right now, it's all about Andy, and it's always has been about Andy.
Oh, dear. Oh, wait. Maybe this guy ought to tell this to Andy.
Yeah, hold on. Let me get Andy on here. Hey, Andy?
Yes, sir.
Here's John.
I have nothing to say to Andy, and neither
does... John, David.
So anyways,
John
and Mike, you guys kick ass, and I hope you just hang up on Andy.
Wait, John.
Hold on, guys.
John, hold on just a second, okay?
Hold on. Andy?
We do want to get a little dialogue going here. You owe at least that, right, to Andy?
So
I've never had a problem with John David. Him and I have always gotten along. He's been in my house.
Andy, I've put up with you. Okay, and that's about how it's always been. And I think you know that. And that's all I got to say. Don and Mike, you guys have a great radio show. Keep it up. It'd be even greater if you hung up on Andy. Bye.
Well, now John, we need to know more about it. See, what you're doing is you're casting aspersions on Andy, and we don't know Andy. He seems like a decent guy with a good heart who has called the show and said that he loves your sister.
And you are speaking in generalities, and that's very difficult for us to interpret because we are new to the situation. And in order for us to get a better picture, and for the doctor, and also Dr. Scooter and Dr. Grossman, to understand what's going on, you have to speak in specifics.
Well, I'm not going to get into specifics, and I just wanted to call and say, Andy, why don't you just give it a rest?
John, you know, I still love Jill very much. I'm holding on to the chance that her and I can try again.
I got
to
go. See you.
All right, thank you, John. All right, everybody, hold on now.
Well, certainly the family members of Jill are 100% behind Andy.
All right, let me see. Who's this?
This is a guy from Mobile, Scooter.
Oh, Scooter from Mobile. Hold on, Scooter.
Dr. Scooter.
Hold on. And Dr. Grossman, are you still there?
I sure am.
Now, listen, Carl, are you calling about that thing you sent me email about?
Yeah, but I can go with this for the time being.
Now, listen, another day, Carl. All right. Carl wants us to help him find a job.
Yeah, the guy who called up offering went to the would-be Rob Bay specifically.
Are you out of a job again, Carl?
Oh, yeah.
All right. But
remember, he's always just $6,000 away from moving out of his mom's house.
Okay.
Wait, it's more like 66. Anyhow, we can do that another day. Growing.
Remember, Carl is not a loser. He's simply losing.
Right.
Yeah. Losing the battle. Carl, right. I would have given you the airtime here to find you a job, but I have the more pressing issue of Andy.
We'll do that another time. I know where the doctor was going.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Where was the doctor going?
He was saying if he loves her, he should let her do what makes her happy.
Yeah.
We'll add that if he has been married to her and is totally clueless that she's been unhappy, that in itself is...
You sound nervous, Carl. Are you nervous?
I'm always nervous when I talk to you guys.
Of course he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Your palm's sweating right now. Hey, have you ever met Scooter?
No.
This would be a nice meeting. The Don and Mike break pad, Carl Grossman, is meets Scooter for the first time.
Hi, Scooter.
How you doing, guys?
Have you ever said hi to Carl Grossman, the married Jew?
I'm not married. I'm a bachelor.
No. Mary, Scooter, Mary. M-E-R-R-Y.
No, Carl Grossman is known as the married Jew.
Well, I'm Catholic, so I wouldn't know.
Well, say hi to Carl Grossman,
hey, Mr.
Scooter.
Grossman. How you doing?
Just fine, thank you.
Come to Mobile, I'll get you a job.
What kind of job could you get, Carl, Scooter?
He could work at where I work at, Mark Enterprises, M-A-R-C Enterprises.
Yeah, mm-hmm. What do you do there, Scooter?
You name it, we do it. I've been there 20 years.
Scooter is the Tom Gavin of Mobile, Alabama.
No, I'm better looking.
He was telling me just the other day he loves punch.
He's having punch right now.
Well, and I ran and ran and ran and ran and ran.
I'll give Robbie a punch bowl set with some Cubs.
All right, you do that. Get him a punch bowl set with Cubs.
With Cubs?
With Cubs.
Would those be Cubs, Scooter?
You know what? He could run for governor of Alabama.
Rob Bay could?
Yep.
Scooter's preoccupied with Rob Bay. It's very unnatural.
Well, he's a nice young man.
Yes, he is.
I wish he'd come to Mobile and work with me.
And he's a very handsome young man.
Yes, he is.
You should see his deep, rich, full sideburns.
His fiancée is going to be a beautiful wife to him.
Yes, she will.
Scooter's a little sharper than Tom Gavin.
I'm not married, so I don't know.
Have you ever been interested in a woman, Scooter?
I'm a bachelor.
Are you a virgin?
I guess I am.
Well, you would know that or not.
Take care, guys.
Oh,
okay, Scooter.
Bye, Scooter.
Hey, and when is your birthday, Don?
The 18th of September, Scooter.
I'm going to send you a birthday card.
I hope you will.
That's my niece's birthday, too.
Ah, well, my best to her, Scooter.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Hey, Scooter, do you live with your mom?
I sure do.
There's something you and Carl have in common.
Yeah, Carl Grossman lives with his mother, too. Isn't that neat?
Yeah, but his mom's not 81 years old.
Oh, she's not far from it.
They're both getting defensive now.
I take care of my mom.
So does Carl.
So does Carl, as we found out the last time we had Carl on the show when his mother yelled at me.
Carl uses the same excuse, Scooter.
Carl's got to go to Mass, if he's Catholic.
No, he's Jewish.
Like Howard Cosell was.
That's right, Scooter.
What about Howard Cosell?
He was Jewish, Don.
Oh, he was a big Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Howard Cosell was a super Jew.
Did he ever meet Howard?
Helen who?
Did he ever meet Howard Cosell?
Carl Grossman, did you ever meet Howard Cosell?
No. Scooter, are you drinking?
Do you ask because they are both Jewish?
One of my neighbors is Jewish.
Listen, I have to break here. I have somebody else who knows Andy on the phone.
Okay, that's thanks. Great.
All right, bye.
Thank you, Scooter, for giving us that little slice of Alabama.
And goodbye, Carl.
Oh, shoot. All right.
All right, bye.
Goodbye, Carl.
Bye.
And usually the great contributor, Carl Grossman.
Hey, stop it, Mike.
Sorry about that.
He did fine.
He's my protege.
I'm still bristling after your dismissal of Dennis Murphy and putting him on double secret probation.
And, of course, Carl has my invitation to call anytime.
That's right. Carl's in a good cycle right now.
You know, someday I should bring in some of his psychotic letters that he sends me. Ever since I told him that he could write me, every day when I go to the computer... You have mail. And every day,
it's Carl Grossman.
It's some insane rambling from Carl Grossman about how all of the things in his life are
just about to turn around.
He's ready.
All he needs is that little bit of help from the Don and Mike show.
Someday he'll be a multi-billionaire.
Hello, Lodi, California.
Hey, Don and Mike. Hey, hey, Buzz, I love you.
Hi, I love you, sir.
Yeah, I'm a friend of Andy's, and I was just sorry he took such a beating from his family member, because he's a really decent guy. He's done a lot for the soccer team.
I'll tell you, he sounds like a decent guy on the telephone.
All right. He really is. I wish he could get it together with his wife, because he just sounds really heartbroken. But he is a neat guy.
All right, so we've had one witness who says that he's not a good guy and one who says he is. Now let's get Andy and the doctor back on the line. Hello, Andy, are you still there?
Hello.
Andy, and here is...
This is Andy. Who is that you were just speaking to in Lodi?
That's a guy named Bob. And now you're on with the doctor, with the marriage counselor again.
Hello. Yeah, hi. I hate to cut you off. I have to get going. I got to get back to work, but I just wanted to...
Wait, who has to go?
Andy.
Andy, this is your whole life we're discussing here.
I know, but, I love my wife, and I don't want this to be taken the wrong way.
All right, Andy, let me stop this.
Listen to the doctor, Andy. Listen to the doctor.
Andy. Okay, your wife's name is Jill?
Jill, yes.
How long were you married?
3 years and 2 months.
Okay, how long did you date?
Since February of 1990.
Okay. I know, now you just need to listen to me for 1 second, okay? You have to realize that, number one, she's a woman and she is doing something on her own. And if you love her wholly and completely, then you need to let her do what she wants. You need to let her have her space. You don't call her. You don't speak with her. I should be telling you this off the air, but I'll just say it anyway, because this is what you need to do. You need to break away, and she will begin to think, hey, this guy's letting me do what I want. She might not think that. Like,
she begins to think, hey,
she will
I'm free.
Finally free of this guy.
How you're doing, because she cares for you.
Well, I thought about the absence makes the heart grow fonder, but I'm scared to death about out of sight, out of mind. She's not going to want to see.
No. Your ego's talking. You're a man. I'm a man. We're men.
Men,
we
want to
be
men,
in control.
Men. We are men.
We want to be in control, and I understand what you're going through, because I've been there, and I've gotten through it. And you just need to trust in yourself. And look, if it's not the right thing for you, then you need to know now. You need to get on with your life.
Well, I appreciate your sentiments, and it's easy for a stranger to say, but there's just really no way to go on. I mean,
Oh, Andy, now hold on. Listen, hold on. Andy, no woman is worth that. Remember what
you've never met Jill.
Now, remember my bottom line. Women are like trains. If you miss one, the next one is 10 minutes away.
And, Andy, I should say to you that what the doctor is saying to you right now is that if you give Jill some space.
I understand.
And try not to be so controlling, she might come back.
I promise you, she will call you, and she'll wonder, and you just say, hey, I'm busy right now. Look, if you give me a call later in about a week, and I promise you, Andy, even if it takes 2, 3, 4 months, is she worth that to you? I think she is.
She's worth everything to me. And look, I want to say something to her brother or her family, whoever's listening. I truly love her family. I never had anything against her family. And for John David to come out and have such a harsh tone to
me. Well, his sister has probably expressed things to him that you don't see. She's been building things up inside like a feather on a weight, on a scale. And it just builds up slowly, and it breaks one day.
And has to support family. I mean, I understand him coming to defense of his sister, but...
this is why I'll never get divorced from my wife.
To say about him,
I couldn't stand to go through this crap.
Family,
you know, it's worth it just to stay married.
It was everything.
To what I don't want this to be
to go through all this counseling BS.
Like he said, and
but see, Andy didn't have any choice in the matter. His wife left.
Yeah, happy. And unfortunately, if it's not with me,
my wife left me after we were married for 6 months. She left me.
Be friends in some way with her.
Well, if she doesn't,
how did I work that out?
Now, then you have to accept.
Oh yes,
I know.
I stopped buying cars and not telling her.
Really hard for you.
I stopped running my credit cards. Way past the limit.
You need to realize that what she's doing right now is something she needs to do for herself.
I stopped bouncing checks.
Hard to swallow.
And you stopped the most important thing. That you confided in me, and now we can go public with it. You stopped wearing the dresses.
For yourself.
I am. Sorry.
Ixnay on the S's, Dre Mike.
Sorry. Consumed with thoughts of her, and
Ixnay on the Apsnay on.
Everything else, you know, everything means nothing. I just
my big snap-on appendage. Honey, I'm home.
See, what she sees that as a weak man.
And I have breaths.
Well, she doesn't mean weak. I'm in love. I love my wife.
I know, but you love her being there for you.
This is really a dialogue these two are having, huh?
She might not want that kind of person. She wants an independent man that she fell in love with.
The doctor's being tough on him.
3 years ago.
Well, that's
a possibility, because I did push her away a lot when we first started, and I think that might have drawn her closer. I don't know.
I know about this guy, Andy. He sounds kind of unstable to me.
It's hard. What you need to do is, like, simple little things. Write notes to yourself on the phone, and, like, when I wrote this note, I'm in total, complete.
He needs to find himself a nice prostitute.
What I'm doing.
You know, pay a girl $50, feel like the world. Feel like you're back on top of things, if you pardon the pun.
I may
prostitutes can help.
Then, but you need
that's why we're not marriage counselors.
You know, it's a bunch of, it's not a game.
Don and Mike say, get yourself a nice hooker.
You want to do what's best for you, and you want her back, but you got to give her the space.
A hooker will give you the respect you deserve.
But, and it sounds illogical, but it's the truth.
Oh, I understand. I appreciate your professional point of view.
Andy, this is Mike here. I've got a piece of advice that might help you through this difficult time. Is there a good neighborhood bar anywhere near where you are?
Come on, guys.
I appreciate your point of view, Mike. I really do.
Okay, I'll follow up on that, and I ask, do you have $50 in cash?
Andy, during my troubled time, and I've been down that road of divorce, it helped me in a great deal just going to my neighborhood bar. You meet people that are just as devastated as you are.
Well,
and it helps you through it.
Well, I'm trying to get through it, like you say, one day at a time.
Mornings kind of suck, but...
Andy, let me tell you one more thing, real quick, and I'll get off the air. I'm getting ready to go into a tunnel.
And don't discount the hookers, the prostitutes. They make you feel like a new man, Andy.
What you need to do, Andy, is you need to get involved. Like you said, you were with soccer leagues. You need to get involved in, like, outdoors things. You need to get out, and you got to stay busy. You cannot dwell on her, because that's what
right.
you're doing. You
right.
Gotta stay
I agree
active.
With the doctor. Right, Andy.
Man, well, Andy, you've got a life. You said it yourself. You're up and coming. You've got a great job. You're the man. I mean, don't sell yourself short.
Problem solved. Listen, I got to go.
Don and Mike, you guys are great.
Thank you, doctor.
Take care.
Thank you. We Bye-bye. Appreciate your free advice there, doctor.
Andy, and we mean this sincerely, we wish you the very best of luck.
I do appreciate that. Gentlemen, I want to apologize for bringing your show down.
Oh, no, you didn't bring it down. You kidding? We got a half hour of great material from you. It would have been nice if we would have had a happy ending here. But
yeah, if Jill called, it would have been great. But you know something? There are no quick fixes, Andy.
I know. There's no script. I'm just winging this thing, and it's just killing me. But
all right.
I do appreciate you guys giving me a little bit of time. And
booze and hookers make you feel like a new man.
I just wanted to let my wife know.
Instead of a big bottle of booze and a nice cheap hooker.
That's right.
We're like
right,
the guys, divine brown.
See you later.
That's what you need is divine
all
brown.
Right. All right, Andy.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Those hookers, you know, they act like you're their best friend for just a, you know, it's a short period of time. But
and if you're drunk, then, you know, times 100.
Oh, absolutely, because you feel like Superman and you've got a new best friend who'll have sex with you.
Don Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
Hey, Mike.
Hi there.
Buzz.
Hey.
Where Buzz at?
Right here. You're the last call, my friend.
Oh, okay. Check this out. If y'all let me do strip trivia, you know, I can probably turn the room to dark.
You can what?
You can what?
If I do strip trivia,
yes,
the room will go dark.
The room will go what?
Dark, if I lose.
Dark?
Yes.
Oh, you mean you're rather well-endowed, sir? Is that what you're saying?
I think you're saying he's black.
That's right.
We've had black men play the game before.
I'm sorry, and Don, I apologize. It was another one of my foolish stereotypes.
All right, guys. I love you guys.
Okay, thank you. Right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right, yeah. No, we've had black.
Yes, we have.
Once you have black, you never go back.
Our CD-ROM had a brother.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
A very well-hung brother, as
absolutely.
A
it was a treat for everyone who got through the maze.
A quick commercial. And because of you speaking of the maze, we'll be right back.
Uh-huh.
This should be played at high volume.
The Don and Mike Show.
Preferably in a residential area.
Now, there's more Grease Man on 106.7 WJFK.
Ooh. Well, it's going to be mighty interesting, I'll tell you that.
The smelling mung will be hanging over this studio.
That's right. It's been a long time since we've played strip trivia.
The return of strip trivia with all new, all nude, all real people playing the game.
The ladies will be in here. And
the guys will be over yonder.
That's right.
Thanks, guys.
In Buzz's studio.
The return of strip trivia. That'll be tomorrow on the program. Nuz Nurnank, the aforementioned Buzz, will have news in a second. Also, toe-tapping touch tones, the triple T's, in a couple of seconds. Friday, we do our All Elvis show as we celebrate Elvis Death Day.
Hey.
And then next Monday, we broadcast live from Ocean City, Maryland. We'll be at Secrets. Love to see you. Come on by. $3. We'll get you in the door with all money going to the Ocean City Fire department or company, whatever they want to call it.
They want to call it the fire company.
And also next week, we'll be finalizing our plans to go out to California for the nude Olympics.
All right.
And we still have 20 couples all trying to produce us babies the fastest.
The hump off for cash is just in the get-go stage.
We got a ton of stuff happening. It's Wednesday, the 14th of August. Birthdays today. Well, I'm not a man who likes to kiss and tell, but I will tell you that I have had Alice Ghostly.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, is she great.
She is such a marvelous character actress, and as you told me many, many times, a great lover.
She's good in the rack. She's good in the rack. I knocked the bottom out of that.
And she makes a nice rack of lamb.
Birthdays continue. David Crosby, Steve Martin, Susan St. James, Magic Johnson, and Halle Berry. Wow.
And no health problems for David Crosby since he got his new liver.
His monkey liver. Didn't he have a baboon liver or something like that?
No, I think it's a human.
Oh, he's got a real liver?
Yeah. On this day in 1958, Elvis's mom, Gladys, died of a heart attack.
Ooh.
Also on this day in 1971, Rod Stewart released the song Maggie May. And in 1974, the song You're Having My Baby got a gold record.
Wow.
However, a bunch of feminists objected to the record because he sings You're Having My Baby,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted it to be You're Having Our Baby.
Ah, well, you know those feminists.
Eddie Murphy, you know what they need. Good shot of some penicillin. Eddie Murphy's getting a pay raise thanks to the Nutty Professor.
Good, he deserves it.
He is now going to get $17 million. Now, he may have taken this whole remake thing too far.
Mm-hmm.
His next movie, $17 million, he will star in the remake of Dr. Doolittle.
Now, if he does it with an Eddie Murphy, if he does it like he did The Nutty Professor,
it could be great.
Could be fracturingly funny.
You remember Rex Harrison, of course, was the walk with the animals, right. Talk with the animals.
And that movie featured another great friend of the show, Anthony Newley.
Newley on the zoo.
You chaps are just so funny. You're funny chaps. I love your show.
Anthony Newley really did dig us when he was on our show. He called us a couple of times from England because he said, there's nothing like you lads over here.
You chaps are just incredible. I'd love to be on your show anytime you want me.
Anthony Newley. And he wore a tuxedo the first time he came on our show.
Oh, man, it was great.
Tom Cruise has gotten an apology from the German magazine that made up an interview with him. They said that he's sterile. They now admit that he never said that he was sterile.
Sorry, Mr. Cruz.
And it says the guy who talked with the actor in Germany is no longer working with the magazine. Since they apologized and since they fired the guy, Tom Cruise dropped a $60 million lawsuit that he had against them.
Well, isn't that great?
They've signed up a new bad guy to be in the movie Speed. It's Willem Dafoe.
Oh.
There's a guy with some teeth.
He's one of my favorite actors. Yeah. I think he's great.
He will play the bad guy in Speed 2.
All right, he's a great, but he got his start really in movies, being a bad guy in that movie, To Live and Die in L.A.
Right. Alex Van Halen has filed for a divorce from his wife. Alex, he's the drummer of Van Halen.
Right, and the oldest, I think.
Been separated from his wife for the last 2 years. The Nielsen ratings are out. Let me see. I'll give you the top 10. Caroline in the City.
Blech. I hate that show.
Boy, that show was on last night. That show is such a waste of my time.
Do you log any time with it? I mean, when it comes on and I see that little cartoon at the beginning, that's my key to go for the remote.
Right. I'm lazy.
Yeah.
I'm lazy, even though I got a remote control. If it's on, I'll probably watch it. You know,
just because it's there.
Right? Yeah, it's there, and there's nothing else that was better on, I guess.
And it was right after that repeat of Frasier, that great Frasier.
A really good one, yeah.
Where Niles is breaking the vase. I love it.
Oh, when Niles drinks the beer. When Frasier comes in, and Niles has got the six-pack of beer, and he's just had one, that's a great moment on that show.
That is really one of the better ones. And then when I can imagine. So what would your reaction be? Caroline in the City comes in, you don't go for the remote. You just slump in your chair.
Well, the problem is that I live this life where I'm like asleep by 10 o'clock at night and I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So, like last night, if Caroline in the City comes on, it's perfect because I go to sleep during the show.
And that's it puts you to sleep.
Because that is the fabulous life that I have. Yes, I will be asleep less than 3 hours from now, I bet.
Wow.
I swear to God that's the truth.
I believe you. You couldn't get up at the time you get up at if you didn't go to sleep.
I get up. You know, I get up, and my family doesn't get up for. You know what time my kid got up today?
Why?
5 till 10.
Why? Hey, that's great.
Wow. Why? Oh. Because he can.
Oh, yeah, no school. Yeah.
Hi, honey.
Oh, boo-boo. The chicken and dumplings didn't work out, so I had to order pizza.
Oh, that's all right.
I knew.
Hey, listen. Are you upset with the fact that I go to bed before 10 o'clock every night?
Oh, you're doing what I'm doing.
No.
I know exactly what you're doing.
What?
You heard Andy. You heard, Andy, yeah. And now you're like me. I was just saying a buzz out in the hallway. I'm going to call my wife and tell her, do I spend too much time on the golf? You're doing the... No, we're all thinking that way after talking about Andy.
No, but, honey, I don't change. I like it. I heard you saying earlier, someone called in and said, is your wife prepared because you were, if you got interested in your car, that you would be off, you know, in car clubs and
right,
this kind of thing.
Right.
Have a good time.
That's why I love her. She says, have a good time.
Enjoy.
You're a newlywed, Mike. Big difference for you. Also, you have an infant, and your wife needs, you know, some other contact rather than a baby all the time. I got a wife, you know.
All right, honey.
All right.
I love you.
Though.
Love you. Be home shortly. I'll be asleep within 3 hours.
Okie doke.
I guarantee it.
And then the house is mine. And then I live in my little dream world.
And when I get up in the morning, I pretend the house is mine.
Right. Okay.
For the first 3 hours before you guys wake up.
Frida, you go to sleep and Frida hits a switch where the entire decorations of the house change dramatically. What were you going to say, Buzz?
It's a secret of a happy marriage. Everybody needs time to themselves.
And you know what? I'll tell you this, and I'm not patronizing you when I say this.
You guys speak. I mean, I listen to you when you speak about this stuff.
You really can clean a floor. I swear to God you can. What did I tell you last night when I got home? Nope. I mean that. Now, listen, I'm not patronizing and I'm not putting down. My wife, since our cleaning lady quit, she's had to do some of this stuff herself, and I don't know if it's that Eileen didn't do a good job, but I mean, you found your calling. You could be a professional janitor, Frida. Okay.
Could you eat off that floor now?
Yes. Yeah. What did I tell you last night when I came home?
You said it was cleaner than ever.
Cleaner than ever.
You ought to try a demonstration when the pizza arrives tonight. Take the pizza out of the box, put it on the floor, and literally eat the pizza off the floor.
All right, let's not go crazy.
All right, I'm just, you know.
Let's not go crazy.
I'm trying to help.
Don't right, get honey. Used to it, boo-boo.
All right.
All right, love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. See you. Make my bed. I think we're going to go to bed at 8 o'clock tonight.
Wow.
Just to be crazy.
Feeling saucy.
Yeah. Honey, I'm feeling nutty. Close the blinds. I'm going to bed.
I think we've all experienced that. I think that's a victim of being too suburban. Yeah. When really going to bed super early is something exciting. And yeah. I think we've all been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carolina of the City. It's the ratings. Carolina of the City, number 10. The Daylight NBC. Mad About You, ER. Home Improvement, Frasier. Then you have Third Rock from the Sun, Jerry Seinfeld. Third Rock from the Sun, and Jerry Seinfeld.
All right.
They must have run two episodes of both shows last week. And what is this? It's the end of an era in the restaurant business. Big Boy is getting his buns out of comic books.
Really?
Have you ever seen the comic book you get for free when you go to Big Boy? It's got little adventures of him.
I got to be honest with you. When I frequented that establishment, the Big Boy restaurants, it was usually about 2 or 3 in the morning.
Ah.
I wasn't doing any comic book reading then.
The chubby, wavy-haired mascot of the Big Boy sit-down hamburger chain has been starring in his own comics since 1958, but they will stop distributing them next month.
Meanwhile, he's still attending American University.
The Hobbit. F the Hobbit. Been a while since we got one of those calls.
That's right.
And finally, Mel Torme is doing better. His speech, they say, has been affected by his recent stroke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mel Torme is expected to get better. He has some weakness on his left side. He is trying to get over a slight case of pneumonia.
That's your right side, Mike.
But listen to this.
Yes.
A spokesman says the singer's in great spirits.
Good, good.
And is loving the Republican convention. Now, if I had a stroke, that's the last thing I would watch. Because wouldn't that induce a coma? Let's say you're sitting there and go,
there's a stroke. Put the TV on.
Oh, look at that Republican convention.
And the next
that was a heck of a keynote speech.
The next thing you know, you sit there, you're going,
if only I had the strength to get up and change the channel.
I'm not sure I can take this convention much longer.
What killed him, Doctor?
It's a Republican convention. TV was on Channel 4. All right, we hope that Mel Torme gets better.
Yeah.
Now listen, we got to go. I'm getting tired, man. I got to go to bed very soon. We'll be right back with the toe-tapping touchstones and Nuz Burbank with the news next.
With a rich, meaty taste that your dog will love, the Don and Mike Show.
I'm not home again. Walking in the spider webs. Leave a message and I'll call you back. I really like this song. Until I saw the video.
What's wrong with the video?
It's her.
She's like Cyndi Lauper. She's like Cyndi Lauper on steroids.
You didn't find Cyndi Lauper to be a fetching, adorable creature?
Cyndi Lauper was different looking.
Yes, she was.
And even when she tried to fix herself up, when she tried to reincarnate her career a couple of years ago,
right?
She still looked like the same Cyndi Lauper, but she shouldn't try to change because that's a look that works.
Yeah, Cyndi Lauper with the wrestlers, remember?
Right.
That's yeah, the good Cyndi Lauper.
Works for Cyndi Lauper, but I don't know, this girl in the group, No Doubt, I don't know, loved that song until I saw that video.
Yeah, well, that's what videos can do. They can either make a song a hit or they can turn everybody off.
All right, now hold on a second. I've got the story about Bob Dole, and Buzz had more stuff about that story. So let me speak about that for a second, then we'll call Nick at the DMV. Just before Rob Dole... Just before Robbie Dole was going to take his place...
Hi, I'm Rob Dole.
...at the San Diego Convention Center to accept the GOP nomination for president, listen to this goof. A computer disk, because it turns out I didn't have the story totally correct, as I am often wont to do. I just had some facts here and some facts there.
Right.
It wasn't a fake speech that was given to Dole. It was a fake speech that was given to the Washington Post.
All right.
A computer disk was given to the Washington Post by the Republican National Committee's Media Operations Office, and it had all of the speeches that were going to be given last Thursday night. This was given in advance to the Washington Post.
So they could get it to press in time for the morning headlines.
Exactly. Right. It had a lot of real stuff and also had this. For release upon delivery, acceptance speech by Robert Dole before the Republican National Convention. My fellow Republicans, my fellow Americans, I hereby withdraw my name from the candidacy of the presidency of the United States. In my place, I suggest Homer J. Simpson. Homer, although a fictional character, will prove an immense asset to the presidency. Though often accused of being a two-dimensional character, he cares deeply about a number of issues. Donuts, nuclear safety.
Right.
Livestock and television deregulation.
Wow.
Marge will prove an admirable first lady. And Bart, Lisa, and Maggie are children that the nation will adore.
That's great.
Now, the Post found out who it was.
Stupid president.
It's a kid. It's a kid. Some computer whiz kid.
Oh, that's wild.
And they didn't give his name out. They did say that they had their eye on him. And that he should never do anything like this again. But apparently the Washington Post came this close to just taking the disc, putting it in the computer.
And downloading it and printing it.
And printing that out in the newspaper.
Woo-hoo! Wow. That is incredible, really. And, you know, it just shows you how fragile it all really is, especially in the computer age.
Yeah. And how many times really hearing a story, not quite as good as what you build up in your head, because the story that I had thought, and I heard it like 2 seconds of it on Paul Harvey today. And why I listened to Paul Harvey, I don't know. I should have my head examined for listening to Paul Harvey.
Well, he advocates the same right-wing politics that you advocate.
But I heard a little bit on Paul Harvey and a little bit on the news on the TV at noon.
Right.
And the way that I heard the story was that there was a fake speech that had been given to Dole.
Handed to him as he's walking up there?
And that Dole, like, almost read it.
I went drawing the planes.
Hey, read it. Read it like Bob Dole.
Thank you. Here we are. My fellow Republicans. My fellow Americans. I hereby withdraw my name from the candidacy of the President of the United States of America. In my place, I suggest Homer Simpson. Homer, though a fictional character, will prove an immense asset to the presidency. Though often accused of being a two-dimensional character, he cares deeply about a number of issues. Donut production, nuclear safety, livestock industry, and television deregulation. Marge will prove an admirable first lady, and Bart, Lisa, and Maggie are children the nation will adore. Thank you very much. Good night. Party hardy.
He blows all right. He blows big time.
Oh, that would have been good.
It was good, but not great.
Yeah, so story not as great as I originally thought, but that's the story.
Wouldn't it have been something, though? I mean, that's the kind of story you like to see go all the way, you know. Wake up in the morning, pick up the Washington Post, and there it is for everybody to read.
Okay, now we got to get to Nick, now that I got that out of the way. And thank you for clearing that up for me, Buzz.
Certainly.
Nick, our prospective Rabe wannabe.
So far, so good. Doing a great job.
Yeah, he blew us away in his first audition Monday when we were in Ocean City, Maryland, when he drank the entire jar of Old El Paso hot salsa.
Yeah, chugged it right down.
Then he sang God Bless America, the Star Spangled Banner, something while he shaved his armpits.
Yeah, did a great job.
Yesterday, we had him out on the street doing karaoke.
And he once again wowed the crowd.
Now today, in his continuing 5-day quest to become our new Rabe, we've got him at DMV. where he's wearing his rice paddy hat, and he will be apologizing to people for the poor driving habits of the Asian community.
As once again, another stereotype is brought to light right here on the Don and Mike Show.
All right, so let's get Nick on the phone. Oh, hold on, I dialed the wrong number.
You want to talk about a guy that gets the joke.
Yeah.
I think this Nick guy gets the joke.
Yeah, he's working out pretty good. Of course, he has a couple more tests. Tomorrow he's got to eat.
Yes, yeah, tomorrow it's a big eating.
Hello, Nick.
Hi.
Hey, it's Don and Mike.
Hi, Don.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm great. Here at DMV, Tyson's Corner.
You're at DMV in Tyson's Corner, Virginia, Department of Motor Vehicles.
That's right.
Now, do you have the list of the four things that we'd like you to say to people in order?
I have them right here in front of me.
Are you wearing your rice paddy hat?
I put that on right now.
Okay.
All right. You just been cooling your heels, waiting for the call?
Excuse me?
Have you just been cooling your heels, waiting for us to call?
Basically, just looking at all the people. This is like, I feel like I'm at Ellis Island, Don and Mike.
Now, a
variety of people here.
You got lots of foot traffic happening there, Nick?
This has to be the busiest day I've ever seen at the Division of Motor Vehicles.
Wow. Great. Well, then please stop the first person that you see now and start from one to four. And if they keep walking, then find somebody else and start over with the first one.
I'm actually here at a table where people are filling out their applications. they're trapped here, unable to get away.
All right.
Can we grab someone right now?
Sure, please do. Here's Nick.
Can you come here for 1 second? I won't be more than a minute at your time.
Let's take some guns.
I'd like to tell you on behalf of Asian people everywhere, please allow me to apologize for our lack of driving skills. Very sorry, Joe. Want me to go on?
If she will stay through all four, please do.
Okay. Despite our culinary excellence, we Asians tend to be very bad drivers. I, for one, I'm so sorry. So sorry. My people are very adept at mathematics, but we drive very poorly. I apologize for this. You go now. No trouble.
Now, the fourth one's the one that might push some people over the edge.
Oh, absolutely.
You should save that fourth one. Save the fourth one for the right people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't think this is the right person.
Not the right person. Now what's the reaction? Give us the reaction.
She's standing there staring at me. Do you want us to speak to her?
Uh-huh. Sure, put her on.
All right.
Put her on.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Hi, were you impressed by the performance of Nick the Korean?
He did a wonderful job.
Yes, Nick is auditioning to be the next Rob A on our radio program.
Oh, I see, okay.
And he is atoning for the sins of the Asian community in the driving area.
I see,
that's
okay.
Another one of the... We've gotten this new trend on the program where we're highlighting various stereotypes each and every week.
Uh-huh.
And we decided to have Nick out there apologizing for Asian drivers. That would just do it quite nicely.
Oh, okay. He did a great job.
So do you accept his apology?
I do.
Would you please say... I'm taking your WASP. Are you a WASP?
I guess so.
White Anglo-Saxon. Say, on behalf of all WASPs, I accept your apology.
To him or to you?
To him.
To him.
On behalf of all WASPs, I accept your apology.
Very nice. Very nice.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Nick. He's got him.
She would be the single white woman in this entire place right now. There's got to be at least 300 people today.
Really? It's a melting pot?
I really think it's the dream of people all over the world to come to American soil and cause an accident here.
Mm-hmm.
God bless America.
Right, Nick, we'll check back with you 2-3 times an hour.
Okay.
So stay there, find a new person, and we'll call you back.
All right.
Oh, bye, Nick.
Bye-bye.
And about the whole stereotyping thing that we're starting to talk about this more and more.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thought of another one. I'd love to see. A Jewish redneck.
A Jewish redneck.
Hmm. I've never seen.
Oh, absolutely.
I've never spoken to a Jewish redneck.
I think I always say, I think I know these people. I think I know some Jewish rednecks.
I'd like to have one call the show.
Call the show. I think there are rednecks everywhere.
Okay.
I think so. But you know, you never know.
Where's my gun? I want to shoot the deer already. Where's my red, white, and blue beer already? It's a stereotype you never hear.
Yeah.
You never see.
I know. You don't see that one very often. That's
no, you
for
don't.
Sure. That is for sure.
A Jewish redneck.
A Jewish redneck. Well, you know, I think rednecks are everywhere. It's just if you know where to find them.
Yes, and yesterday we were talking about the possibility that there are black rednecks and there are Asian rednecks. We'll give you that.
That's right.
I had a friend who had relatives in Texas, and he said they have a sign just inside their door. When you enter their house, it says, "Shalom, y'all."
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Right.
Well, there you go. That's perfect.
Have them call the show. That hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello. Hello.
No, you're faking it.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I'm a Jewish, and I guess I'm a redneck. I live in Winchester on a farm.
Wow. All right. Do you do certain things that would qualify you as a redneck?
Yeah.
Do you hunt? Do you
chew tobacco? Do you wear camouflage? Do you kill innocent animals?
I hunt. I don't wear camouflage. I wear bib overalls.
Bib overalls.
Wow. We got one.
And you're Jewish?
Yeah.
Don, another stereotype has been broken down on this show.
I'll come up with another one for tomorrow, though. I'll put half my brain to work. I mean, my half a brain to work. All right, thank you.
Wow, that didn't take thank long you. At all. I live on. All he had to say was, I live on a farm.
Hello, Winter. Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm a Jewish redneck.
A Jewish redneck.
It's another Jewish redneck.
All right. I drive a pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
I say, y'all, and God bless you.
All right, thank you.
And drink
hello.
Lots of liquor.
Hello.
lots wow. of liquor.
Is this the same guy?
I think so.
Hello.
What's that? Hello?
Is this the pickup truck driver?
That's me.
All right.
Gotcha. All right, thank you, my friend.
All righty.
Okay, bye-bye. Another stereotype falls.
Unbelievable. And falls again and again.
Another Hebrew schlepping Jewish redneck.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. I guess there's a lot of Jewish rednecks out there.
That's incredible.
Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hi. I live in Sioux City.
Yes.
I'm Jewish.
Yeah.
My name is David Abrams. I drive a pickup. I guess I chew, I hunt, I fish. I dig my own worms.
I dig my own worms.
There you go, there you go
we have
boy.
A winner. We all have right. just shattered that stereotype.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, please. Please, no more Jewish rednecks. We have enough Jewish rednecks.
Yes, you've proven us wrong once
thank
again.
You. All right, we will be right back by Jane Pauley.
Well, that's because he's just walking around in a haze up there in Vermont, you know, going, okay, honey, you can do anything you want.
As soon as she and the kids leave, he gets out one of those big Cheech and Chong-sized doobies, starts drawing his stick figures for his cartoon strip.
This looks good. And then they are every 3 months or so, Mom, I am so burned out.
She comes home from work. Oh, Gary, the house smells like pot.
I'm sorry, honey. Did you bring pizza?
Gary scrubs the kitchen floor. It's Gary.
Yeah, Gary Trudeau.
I was worried because he spells it with two R's. Right. It was Gary or Jerry or Gary.
No, it's Gary.
Gary. Gary scrubs the kitchen floor. Does dishes, does laundry, prepares breakfast, and cooks dinner.
Wow, he's a Mr. Mom.
And he finds time to volunteer several hours a week at a homeless shelter.
He's a good guy.
Come home and he's like Jeff Spicoli wearing that poncho.
What's the matter? Are you upset that I didn't do the floor right?
Gary! Gary, Stone Phillips is coming over tonight, and it smells like pot in here.
Well, it also smells like you haven't been home, honey. And really, this isn't just your house. Isn't this our house as well?
I don't know. Let me write that down on the blackboard. I don't know.
Yeah, I like that, Jane. All right. Stan's coming over. All right.
He wakes up at 6 with Jane, and they share time reading the paper, drinking coffee, and eating bagels. At 7:30, she's off to NBC. And by 8:30, Gary has fixed pancakes or oatmeal for the kids, and they're off to school. Now, this is when the real life of Gary Trudeau begins. That's when he turns on the black lights and the Hendrix music.
This is a man who's content to be in the... Is this the apartment, or don't they have a place up in Vermont,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, or Connecticut, something
yeah,
like
Connecticut.
That.
Yeah, Connecticut. You know, this is when Gary has the run of the place.
Let me see. On his way back, he stops at a small office a few blocks from the family's home and works on his comic strip for a few hours.
Hi, guys. Hi, Gary.
But by midday, he's back home cleaning.
Midday.
Who believes this?
Midday, I'm home, it's just me.
Midday, he's got one of those big bongs that goes all the way from the floor to the ceiling. One of those big rubber tubes that he's smoking out of.
Man, oh man, I can't wait till Jane gets home.
By the time the kids get home from their afternoon activities, he has a home-cooked dinner on the table.
Probably sends out for it.
Jane finally gets home between 9 and 10 p.m. The two have a quick snack. Then Jane goes into her home office for an hour or so to prepare for the next day.
So she leaves at 7:30, comes home at 10 o'clock at night, and goes
shuts herself
in
the door.
For an hour. I love these stories.
I told you, pothead, leave me alone.
Jane, I haven't seen you but for a half an hour all day.
You smell like pot.
No, I don't.
And take that poncho off.
No, Dice.
And what happened to our car? No, Dice. How come you traded our car in for that Volkswagen van outside?
Because I can put all my cartoon-loving friends in it, Jane.
And you're just angry because I didn't watch Dateline last night.
You're an embarrassment. All of my friends know that I'm married to a big pot-smoking cartoon drawer.
All right, Mom, and just go ahead and have your lunch with Phyllis George. But you, listen, dude, leave me alone, okay? All right. He's, like, rubbing his belly.
All right.
A big tank top and a bathrobe.
I'll tell you something. Brian Williams told me today what an attractive woman I am.
That's fine. You can sleep with all those NBC geeks. See what I care. Goodbye, Jane. I'm going for a little walk around the block. I'm going to buy some cookies and cream ice cream. You take care.
She picks up the phone. Hello, Stone.
Yes, Jane. Yes, I'll be right over.
Stone, he doesn't understand me.
I know he doesn't, baby. Listen, tomorrow night for the show, get there about 3 hours early, will you?
Stone. I'm not wearing panties.
Oh, baby. I can't wait till our next Dateline show. I'm wearing the brown suit you love.
I love you in brown.
I know you do. I love you in brown, too, baby.
Call me Barbara Walters again.
Barbara Walters, Barbara Walters.
Oh.
Jane, who are you talking to?
I'll see you later, Stone.
Bye, baby.
Where's The Office? Was The Office, Gary?
I know. You were talking to Stan Phillips because you love him, not me. Oh, man. I'm in a cannabis haze right now.
He gives me what you can't. He's a real man, Stone Phillips is. Gary Trudeau.
Stone may be stone, but I'm stone now.
Yeah.
Yeah. If only it were really true.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Then we could make it into an entire miniseries.
Oh, God. And one more thing from the tabloids.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing about Liza with a Z.
This is Liza Minnelli. Don and Mike, how can I say this, are a gay.
As predicted.
Yes.
When we had Liza Minnelli on the show a couple of months ago.
Oh, no.
Haggard-looking Liza Minnelli's life is in constant crisis, and friends fear she's headed for an early grave.
Oh, dear.
I can't believe how weak, pasty, and ill she looked, confides an eyewitness who saw the 50-year-old cabaret star in France. She appeared frail. The strain that the once glamorous singer is under is evident in these shocking photos. Her face is drawn and blotchy. With dark circles below her eyes.
This would be another reputable publication you're reading this out of.
This is The Globe.
The Globe!
Uh-huh. She's been uptight, suffers from insomnia, and picks at her food. She's short-tempered, cries at the drop of a hat, and laughs minutes after driving her tears away.
Mm-hmm.
Her downward spiral began when she went on a diet to lose weight in 1994. 6 months later, she showed up at a Friars Club party looking real thin in a dress that hung on her 5'5 frame. And now, according to published reports, she is clearly disoriented. She shows up hours late, breaks down in tears and sobs. My life today is only about my music and the audiences who show up to hear me.
This is Liza Minnelli. Don and Mike, how can I say this, are a gay.
Oh, man. Liza, Liza, Liza.
I love these tabloids.
Yeah, the tabloids are great.
God, I love the tabloids.
Kids for the British show in town.
Don and Mike.
Have you noticed that Larry is acting just a little melancholy lately?
I have not. Larry who?
Yeah, well, that's probably because you don't get the quality time with Larry that I do.
Yeah. Mm, you mean those moments during the commercial when he leans over and asks if there's anything hanging out of his nose?
Hey, Phil. Phil? Remember, you can't spell smartass without ASS. Okay?
If you like cheese, then you'll love this episode of the Don and Mike Show.
Love that Hank Kingsley.
Oh, he's the greatest.
At Howdy High, we're back. Oh, listen, got to get over to the news cubicle now with Buzz Burbank.
Buzz, tell me what's happening.
Hold on, that's not the... Where's the one with Samantha singing?
Bobby's daughter?
Yeah, here we go.
Buzz, tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
And now here he is with news. The kitty's pal,
yeah.
Buzz Hernank. Hi, Duzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.